You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Bricker. Alongside me this week is Matt Cannon. Joe, unfortunately, not with us, but he will be back soon. Matt, first and foremost, how you doing today?
It's always a revolving door of hosts on this show. Glad to have you back with us, Jake. I'm doing good. Hopefully, Joe's doing good in his absence. Hectic week of hockey, a little up and down, but a fun one nonetheless for some of the games. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. I apologize for missing last week, but the Mets kind of threw me through the ringer here. We've had some 6-10 games I've had to work, so missed out a little bit of Lightning hockey, but there's a lot to talk about this week, which I'm very excited to get into. Some good, some not so good, and some really bad. But we'll get into it all. We appreciate everybody tuning in with us live this week. Back at it. Don't forget you can jump in the live chat. We love to hear what you guys have to say. We'd love to hear what you have and throw it down in the comments. We'll get it on screen and talk about it for sure. This week, we'll be talking about all the games, recapping all that fun stuff, looking ahead at the next week's schedule for the Bolts, and going over our three stars as always. So it should be an action-packed schedule. Don't forget to follow us on social media at RBLR Sports and at RBLR Lightning so you don't miss out on these future episodes when we do go live. All right, Matt, I say let's just jump right into it. Why not? Get started with some of these games. Now, this was the big game. You and Joe talked about this last week when you recorded just before this game happened. It was a big game against the Florida Panthers. The Lightning had been hot. They were on that 8-game winning streak at the time, taking on the Panthers, trying to catch them in the standings maybe with that so close and in striking distance. Unfortunately, Matt, things did not go the Lightning's way. They lose this one just by one goal. 2-1 is your final score. It was 2-0 for the Panthers heading into the third period. But Braden Point, he does get one late, and the Lightning fall by one goal in this one.
Yeah, this game was unfortunate. I wasn't, I thought we were the better team throughout all of it, throughout most of it at least, but two teams coming in on just great heaters. The Panthers, I forget their record, us coming in on an 8-game winning streak. I mean, it was a unstoppable force versus an immovable object kind of game at the time, but it just sucks the result because I did think that we were the better team for 80% of the game, outshooting them, have better chances. Bobrovsky, he was playing really good, but he also got really, really lucky in this game too. You got to be good to be lucky. You got to be lucky to be good. So I can't really blame it on bad luck or anything. And then just two terrible just shots off the post. Anthony Cirelli off the crossbar, and then Victor Hedman in the dying seconds of the game off the post too. So just not the result you want, obviously, but again, and just an unfortunate game. Panthers, they're a good team. I hate to admit it, and they only look better now with their recent acquisitions too of Seth Jones and Marchand. And only, I think over their last four games, they've only let in one goal, and that one goal was to the Lightning this game. So they're playing white hot right now. It sucks you couldn't come up with a win, but, carry on, pick your head up, and head on to the next game, despite it being a very important and a little bit of a heartbreaking loss.
So some interesting stats from this game, looking at the column here. Shots on goal, dead even for both the teams, 29 apiece. Faceoffs, very close as well. Lightning 48.3%. Florida 51.7%. Even block shots 12 and 13. Panthers in front by one. Giveaways 9 and 16. A little bit of a discrepancy there. Takeaways 3 and 4. So all the stats very, very close, which tells you that this was a pretty close game, and the score reflects that too. Here's the big difference. And now the stat is a little skewed because you have those weird ones where, if you have a power play and then there's a penalty taken right away, technically you did not score on that power play. You're 0-1, even though you only had like 10 seconds on the power play. But still, the Lightning 0-7 on the power play in this game. Florida 1-3, and there's your one extra goal right there. You cannot go 0-7 in a game like this and expect to win. That's definitely, I think, a big part of this. Normally, the Lightning power play is pretty good, but not in this one, Matt.
Yeah, all throughout this year, I'm not going to say that they've had their struggles, but it's been inconsistent at times. Like, you know, there's some days, some games where they just can't stop scoring on the power play. And then there's some games where you go 0-for-7. I thought, you know, a lot of the chances were dangerous, but you saw John Cooper. He's very impatient and for the better about, you know, switching guys up, trying the righty versus lefty unit, and then trying to overload on the first unit, and then some of the secondary guys on the second unit. He tried a little bit of everything, and it just nothing was really working. The Panthers, you know, they did a good job of getting in lanes, keeping everything to the outside. But even, you know, when it came to getting these, you know, grade A scoring chances, I don't think that they were coming much on the power play. So it was a weak performance on the power play that whole game, despite getting 7 of them. You have to capitalize on one of them. I mean, 0-for-7, you can't blame the refs. You can't blame, you know, your defense or anything. This is a game that you have to blame yourself. You have to blame your unit. And I don't know. I don't know if it's as easy as throwing your hands up and saying, oh, well, get them next time, because this was an important game. But, yeah, that was definitely the killing blow, was going 0-for-7.
It can't happen. And the Lightning may have addressed part of this potential issue at the trade deadline, which we'll get into in just a little bit here when we get closer to those games when those players were acquired. But maybe there's a solution there potentially. But 0-for-7, even though those all weren't full 7 power plays, still something that's a big red flag in that game. But the good news is, hey, the Lightning hung tough in this game. It was an away game too in Sunrise, and they only lost by 1 goal. They definitely, as you said, Matt, could have won it, maybe even should have won it if they got a little more puck luck their way. But credit to the Panthers. They played a good game. Tough way to go. Ethan here, a couple comments from him, says Lightning have a curse when they play the Panthers or Maple Leafs. It does kind of feel that way a little bit as of recency. I'd say more maybe when they play the away games, but they can still beat them. They can still do it. But definitely as of late, it's felt like they've had the upper hand against the Lightning.
At least the Leafs, maybe not so much the Panthers. They're still little brothers. For whatever reason, we're the only team that the Leafs just seem to have our number with. And either one is just an awful nightmare scenario for me. I just objectively cannot stand both those teams. So it does suck. But I think the Panthers won. It's always back and forth, you know, like putting the playoffs aside. It seems like the Panthers take one game, the Lightning get another. Like earlier this year, sure. I think we played back-to-back games, like a home and home. And it went that way. Panthers spanked us. We spanked them. And then I guess we're owed one later this year. Owed a spanking for the Panthers.
That would be nice. Ethan also said here, shorthanded group has been struggling all season as well. I'm going to disagree with you there on that one, Ethan. The Lightning are ranked 10th right now in the penalty kill at 81%, which isn't, you know, top 5, fantastic, but not bad at all. Being in the top 10. And also they've been fantastic when it comes to scoring shorthanded goals this year as well. I believe they might even be number 1 in shorthanded goals. I haven't looked up that specific stat, but I think
either one or two. I know the Panthers, I think, are still number 1, but Hagel and Cirelli, like I think we've said on the show before, it's like you don't ever get excited for a penalty kill, but when those guys are on the ice, you're like, you know, you're going to get at least one chance with those two.
There's no question. They've been very, very good. And bottom line, you score that many shorthanded goals. And you know it's good when you're half the time you're saying, I think we have a better chance on the penalty kill than we do on the power play. That's what I want to say, but I've said it a couple of times this season. But hopefully they'll find that consistency when it comes to the power play. But for the Lightning, you know, a tough loss. They look to try and bounce right back. And they did that in a big way against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think they were a little bit upset about this Panthers loss, Matt. They win this one 6-2 against the Blue Jackets. A game that was closer early, and then the Lightning just kind of ran away with it into the second and third period. A lot of guys getting on the score sheet. Chafee, Kucherov, Gensel, Hedman. He got two of them. Gensel with another empty netter as well. Gets one late. He has been on a great hot streak. A lot to like in this Columbus game. Everybody just moving offensively. Lightning with 40 shots on goal in this game.
Yeah, a lot to like, a lot to dislike in this game too. I was lucky enough to be in attendance for this game. I actually had really good seats for once. I was down in the 100 section. Don't get to go down there a lot, but things kicked off really, really early. I think it was Mitchell Chafee that got the first goal to start things off, and then Kucherov with a beautiful breakaway, a beautiful pass to Kucherov. I think it was from Gensel, I want to say. I don't have my stats in front of me, but just a quick two goals, and then Columbus kind of strikes right back and doesn't take the wind out of the sails, but it's kind of like, okay, don't get complacent, don't get too confident. And then the whole second period happened, which was a chaotic period, not as chaotic as some other games coming up here, but with a 4-minute power play. It was a double minor. Braden Point gets a goal, a beautiful breakaway goal, and it gets overturned. It was offsides. And then you're like, okay, well, you know, let's get them back. Let's try and score another on this. And the puck goes the other way, and Zach Werenski with a shorthanded goal. So I guess Ethan is partially right in his comments saying that the shorthanded unit was, well, I guess it's not the shorthanded unit. That's the power play unit.
Power play, right?
Ethan, in years past, I think it was 2 years ago, or was it last year, where teams would eat us alive on the power play. We'd give up shorthanded goals. It seemed like every other game. I think we had like 12 against on the year, which is absurd, but it's not been so much of a problem this year. This one was a bit deflating, and then the rest of the game happened. The Lightning really started to take over. The goal scoring just seemed to not stop. I mean, five goals with goalies in the net, and then the sixth goal, empty net, Jake Gensel. It was a fun game for sure. A lot of scraps, no real fights, but you know, some decent scrums that got everybody involved, got the arena up on their feet. It was a fun game to be at. That's for darn sure.
No question about that. Six goals. That's always fun to be in the arena for that. Comment here from Ben saying that Columbus game was interesting. All Lightning 5-on-5, but that first power play, they got to let up a shorty, which they did. But hey, you know what? They played well 5-on-5, which is the biggest thing the Lightning tried to improve this year. And even though special teams wasn't perfect, like they get turning a goal, they were 1-for-3 on the power play. So kind of even out there technically, got one power play goal, give up one shorty. So not the worst thing in the world. You know, luckily that 5-on-5 play was so good, didn't come back to bite you. You didn't need the power play or penalty kill to come through.
Yeah, the 5-on-5 play was really good. There was one shift. I can't remember which period it was. I think it was in the second, in the, you know, dying, you know, last 5 minutes, where it looked like a 5-on-3. Like, it was on the other end. So, yeah, it was the second period. I mean, the Lightning were just pinning Columbus in their zone. I don't think it led to any goals, but it was just utter domination. I'm like, can we get some action down here? Like, I'm all the way on the other end of the ice. Like, it was just domination for like 3 or 4 minutes. It seemed 5-on-5, but it looked like a 5-on-3. So the 5-on-5 play throughout most of the year, that has been really good. And this game kind of encapsulated it.
It was a big bounce back win. Even if it wasn't a perfect game, you get the big 2 points there. You put up 6 goals. Excuse me. You're feeling a lot more confident. Not like my voice right now, who is not feeling very confident, but it was a good win for the Bolts to get that 6-2 against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then you have the Buffalo Sabres in town. And this game was interesting for a number of reasons, Matt. One, because it was a wild game with a lot of scoring, some very bad defense, but also because you had two new members of the Tampa Bay Lightning in this game. In Yanni, well, I can't really say new members, can I? Yanni Gord returning to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then Oliver Bjorkstrand, the other big piece of this trade that the Lightning made. In exchange for Mikey Isamaat being the key player going back the other way to Seattle, and then the Lightning giving up 2 first-round draft picks as well. There's a fifth and a third also mixed in there, if I remember correctly. But the big pieces being 2 first-round picks and Mikey Isamaat in exchange for Oliver Bjorkstrand and Yanni Gourde. So let's start with the trade first, Matt. I want to get your opinions on this because I think it's an interesting trade. I'll let you go first. How did you feel when you heard this news about this one? Why did he make a crack before the trade deadline even happened?
I mean, obviously I was happy about it. Trade deadline day is one of the most exciting days for all hockey fans, but me especially. And, you know, despite giving up 2 firsts, it does seem like a bit of a steep price. It was a seller's market this year, especially for, you know, getting 2 quality, you know, middle six guys. You know, Yanni Gourde's probably going to, like he did, slot right into the third line. We know exactly what we're getting with Yanni Gourde. I mean, how many players after his departure came to this organization and we said, oh, he plays like Yanni Gourde. Like, he's always the gold standard for a heavy forechecking, gritty, just POS to play against. And then Oliver Bjorkstrand, he's a guy that has historically just lit up the Lightning. He's not a superstar or anything like that, but he's a guy that can consistently get you 25 goals, you know, 35 assists. He's in that, you know, 50 to 65 point range of a guy, you know, on the higher end, if you will. And he's always played on some pretty bad teams, you know, Columbus and Seattle. They've never been the greatest of teams. So if he can, you know, find some sort of maybe not consistency, but just reinvent himself. Like, we, you know, he already scored a goal in his debut. We'll get into that later, but I do like the trade to say the least. You know, it sucks seeing Mikey Aisamont go, but you know, he was a good player, but the goal scoring wasn't there. The playmaking wasn't there. I liked his attitude and his play style and everything. You know, he played like Yanni Gourde, but he wasn't Yanni Gourde. Now we have him again. And I was saying last week, I'm not sure if you rewatched the show, Jake, but me and Joe were talking about it. I was like, it feels a little fan service-y, like, you know, bringing Boba Fett back into a new Star Wars property or something, or because everybody loves Boba Fett, everybody loves Yanni Gourde. Like, it did seem a little fan service-y, but at the same time, he's such a tremendous player. He's everything, you know, you want on a third line in general. A first round pick for Yanni Gourde is a little steep, in my opinion. I feel like you can kind of get away with that for Oliver Bjorkstrand, who does come with an extra year at, ooh, I don't have his cap in front of me, but Bjorkstrand is signed for another year, and now Yanni Gourde, you can probably work with him on a contract extension after a couple of games, you know, see what you're getting with him at 33 years old. At the end of the day, I do like the trade, and what I like more than this trade is JBB's comments on this trade. Essentially, I don't have his quote, but he said, you know, I'd rather die trying, essentially. You know, these picks, do you have the quote, Jake?
I don't have it right in front of me, but give me like 2 seconds and I can pull it up, because you know that quote got sent around quite a bit.
It was such a banger of a quote. I loved it.
It was a great quote. Well, I'll say this before I pull it up and find it here. I like the trade. I'm with you on that, because Yanni Gourde and Oliver Bjorkstrand, I think, are two great players. I think the Lightning needed a little more feistiness in them, which Gourde absolutely brings. He can also score, play the penalty kill as well. Granted, they did give up their one other player that kind of has a little feistiness in him for Yanni Gourde. But hey, you know, it's fine. I'm a big Gourde fan. I like that a lot. And I like Bjorkstrand. I think he's a good, underrated player that can really potentially thrive here in Tampa with a lot of great players around him. So I like the pieces that they got. The price, I thought it was a little high. I don't love giving up two first-rounders for these guys. Now, granted, you know, we talked about this last week too. If you go and win a Stanley Cup, who cares, right? You know, it's well worth it. The Lightning have done something similar before, and, you know, trading for Blake Coleman and Barkley Goodrow. I think it's a little bit different, but, you know, they gave up two first-round picks in that trade. They gave up two first-round picks for Brandon Hagel. So this is nothing new for the Lightning. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I definitely did, you know, get a little like, that's a little pricey for those guys. So, we'll see how it plays out. I love players, and we'll get into this more because the trade deadline eventually happened, but I was hoping the Lightning were going to do a little bit more even after this trade. But I finally found the quote here for you, Matt, and then I'll let you go. Ultimately, the calculation is that trying and failing will yield less regret than failing to try. That is the
quote. Love that.
It's a great quote.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great quote. And going back to the price we paid, I mean, isn't he double retained? It was a three-way
deal. Yes, three-way double retention with Detroit.
Detroit, yeah. So Yanni Gourde is –
Detroit fans not happy about that.
Yeah, Steve Yzerman, I don't know what he does in Detroit. His free agencies and his trade deadlines are always – I guess so. So Yanni Gourde's double retained. He's playing with us for free. His cap hit does not exist with us. Oliver Bjorkstrand, he makes less than five, I want to say, which, easy enough, we can keep that. So, and he's got another year at a reasonable cap hit for a half a point a game kind of guy. That's perfectly fine by me. So, and they're both the picks are top 10 protected picks. So in the unfortunate scenario that we just fall off a cliff next year, which I don't think is going to happen.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Which I don't think is going to happen. Worst case scenario, they're top 10 protected. They both get, or one of them gets shifted back a year or something. I don't know exactly how they work, but they're top 10 protected. The chances of you hitting on a superstar outside of the top 10 are slim, even in the first round. So at the end of the day, you know, like the Rams said a couple of years ago, F them picks. Win now. Die trying. Like, I do fully approve of this move. Yes, do I wish another move was made? I'd love for us to get a better defenseman, maybe. Like, I guess defensive depth is never an issue. We've got seven, maybe five quality defensemen right now, but I would have loved to have added another defenseman. But I guess JBB is confident with this group we have right now, and I'll trust in JBB.
It makes you wonder, like, I just love to be a fly on the wall during these trade deadlines. Like, what were the prices for guys like Brock Besser, Alex Tuck, that the Lightning were rumored to be in on, if Gordon Bjorkstrand costed two first round picks? You know, like, what was the price on those guys? It makes you think a little bit.
And so another thing too, you know, we're, you know, halfway concerned about these first round picks, or at least you, oh God. Yeah.
You're not wrong, man.
Yeah, we mortgaged an entire draft class for that. But another win in my book about these trades is you keep Isaac Howard, you keep Connor Geeky, you keep Dylan Duke, like your three best prospects in your pool right now. So you literally only move one player off your roster for two players to bring back. And obviously some picks, but picks are magic beans, as we all know. So keeping your three best prospects and losing a fourth liner, it's a win in my book all day, and it keeps us competitive too. Bjorkstrand, again, signed for another year. I have to imagine Gord will probably sign a much, much cheaper deal this time around to play on the third
line. He likes being here. I don't think he wants to leave again.
Yeah. I think he still owns his house here too, unless he's, you know, renting it out to, I don't know, Darren Radish or somebody. I don't know. So Tampa's home for him. You know, he had a good run in Seattle. He was beloved over there too, but you know, Tampa's home for him.
Last thing I want to say about the trade, I have to give a shout out to the Lightning social media team. Yes, they did a fantastic job. As soon as, I'm sure they knew a lot sooner than we did, but one of the videos they put out quickly for the announcement of Yanni Gourde trade was they took, I don't even know what you call that thing. Like
little, a dolly cart, moving
small
cart.
Dolly. It's not like a big one. A
four-wheel dolly.
I don't know what I'm talking about when I say this. The one he rode during the Stanley Cup parade when it was pouring rain, they just pushed that across the locker room floor, just let it roll into frame. Fantastic. Round of applause. Great job, Lightning social media team. That was a great video to announce the return of Yanni Gourde. He got a big ovation in this Buffalo game, by the way, when he was announced coming back. So to get back to the game, Bjorkstrand and Gourde get to play their first games as members of Lightning this year. Lightning win it 6-5, but back and forth, Matt. Crazy goals. Alex Tuck, who we maybe hope could be a Bolt after the trade deadline, he scored in this game. Jake Guentzel, he gets a hat trick in this game. Three goals for him. He played fantastic. And then Oliver Bjorkstrand scores the game-winning goal for Lightning to get them to win.
From Yanni Gourde.
From Yanni Gourde, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
it was such a Yanni Gourde style of assist too. I mean, he's up in the goalie's grill, just causing mayhem. And then Bjorkstrand, I'm not going to say it was not a great goal or anything, but he just had it tapping for him because of the mayhem that Gourde caused, and Kucherov putting a puck into a dangerous area. I mean, just a great goal. I mean, I said with my buddy I brought to the game, I was also at this game, I was like, we got, you know, two new guys, one new-ish guy. It'd be crazy if they scored. And starting from the beginning, starting Yanni Gourde and Oliver Bjorkstrand in the lineup, I mean, the arena almost blew its lid off when they announced Yanni Gourde back, you know, in the starting lineup. And then again, once they were announcing the assists, it was probably just as loud, maybe even louder. He was getting the puck, the arena was cheering. Like, everybody just is so in love with this guy, and for such a good reason. I'm so excited to have him back. I know I was talking about the fan service comments and everything, but it's just such a pleasure to have
everybody
him back.
Likes a little bit of fan service every once
yes.
in a while.
No. Yeah. So enough with, you know, the love letter to Yanni Gourde and introducing ourselves to Oliver Bjorkstrand. This game was making me pull my hair out of my head. I mean, the first period was not pretty by any stretch. I mean, bold strike first early too. And then just the defense was non-existent for the first period. Vasilevsky was not good the first period. I didn't know if, you know, just watching in the arena, if the defense really looked as bad as it would on television. I always think there's a bit of a in-arena bias, but sources said that it was not very good as well on television. It was just a mess to start. And then the second period came around, which was just absolutely crazy. You know, Buffalo, I think we were trailing to start the third. Was it 3-2? And then Jake Guentzel just grabs the game, scores a natural hat trick, I think it was. A beautiful sequence of goals. And I want to point out the second goal. The second goal. Man, Jake Guentzel, he did everything on that shift. He stole the puck from the goalie. I think it was Lukanen, I want to say. Battled for it in the corner. Lost it for a sec. And who was it? Kucherov gets it back to him just for a beautiful goal. Just a hardworking goal from Jake Guentzel on that shift. This game was crazy. It was making me go nuts. But the third period, everything really started to settle down a little bit. Vasilevsky collected himself, actually more than collected himself. He kind of redeemed himself. He played really good in the third period. The defense was still a little shaky. Victor Hedman went down in this game as well, really early, right? I didn't get to see what happened. I haven't seen any replays. I know he's back skating, but was it anything to be super concerned with, Jake?
Not that we know of. He ended up not playing in the Boston game, which we're going to get to next, but he's listed as day-to-day. So it's okay. And he was taking warm-ups in that Boston game, so it's minor. He'll be back very soon. We'll expect him back tonight.
Gotcha, cool. But, yeah, regardless, the defense fell early, Vasilevsky fell early, and then the team just figured things out in the second and then shut it down in the third. I mean, a very classic Buffalo game. You just come out swinging in the first. Second period can go either way and then just blow it in the third. I was telling my buddy the entire time, he's a pretty casual fan that I brought with me. I was like, don't worry. We're going to win this game. It's making me crazy right now, but Buffalo loves blowing leads. Like, you know, their third periods are worse than our Lightning second period. So I was like, be confident, man. It's all right.
You know, at the end of the day, they get the win, right? This was not a pretty game, especially defensively. You hit on all the points. Vasilevsky didn't look good early on as well, but they got the win. They settled down in the third. These kinds of games are going to happen. Getting the win and showing that you can come back and figure things out is the bigger story, I think, in this game. As long as you correct those mistakes later on, you know, it's not too much to be worried about. It's an 82-game season. Just like they say in baseball, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And same can be said for hockey with an 82-game season. So these things are going to happen. They got the win. Goals are goals, right? You know, just like a like is a like. And we really appreciate if you guys could drop one of that on this video. Don't forget to subscribe, too, so you don't miss out on future episodes just like this one. I had to slip that in there real quick. But, you know, Lightning get the win. That's the important thing. And there was also the quote-unquote potential benching in this game to Nikita Kucherov, which we have to do quickly mention. The great photo of him sitting there, you know, with his arms crossed and with his gloves off. I don't know if it was a benching, but Cooper said it wasn't. Said he had a dead leg issue. It was kind of an injury thing, but it also happened right after a turnover. So I don't know if that was Cooper's excuse to not call it a benching, but it kind of really was. But
he got left off the first power play unit, and it took me a while to notice because it's hard for me to keep track in a game, especially a couple of $16 beers in too. But Kucherov is no stranger to being benched against Buffalo. Last year, too, there was a game against Buffalo. I can't remember if we won or if we lost, but I remember the whole top line, Stamkos, Point, and Kucherov all got benched against Buffalo.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's just a Buffalo thing. It might be. I wouldn't put too much stock in it. It was a sloppy first half of the game for everybody involved. And like I was saying about Vasilevsky, you know, you not only corrected it, but you redeemed yourself. Kucherov, you know, I think he had a multi-point game, multi-assist game. Vasilevsky stood on his head, you know, after letting in a couple of soft, weak goals in the first period. His defense definitely did not help, but it was a story of redemption, in my opinion. Kucherov, you know, assisting on the game-winning goal and, you know, on Jake Gensel's hat trick, or no, the second goal. So a multi-point game with a benching, I'll call that a win. You know, pick yourself up and move on. But moving on wasn't great.
Moving on, that was all the games for this week. So let's go to the three stars. No, I'm kidding. We do have to talk about it. The Lightning took on the Boston Bruins after this Buffalo game. And Matt, this was the worst game the Lightning played all season. I just mentioned it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's an 82-game season. This is the type of game you say bury the tapes, burn the tapes, whatever cliche you want to go with. This was not a good game for the Lightning, and they looked bad. Nothing went right. Defense was a mess. They weren't getting a lot of chances. Boston capitalized on a couple weird ones. They scored one goal all the way from center ice as well on a couple of weird bounces. The broadcast was terrible, but I digress. Nothing went well in this game. We won't spend a ton of time on it, Matt, but really just a game you want to just move on from and correct. Just not a good game. Nothing went right.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest reason I can see why we lost this game, played so bad, is because I wasn't there. I'm 7-0 in these games that I've attended.
It's your fault, Matt.
It is my fault, but this wasn't part of my ticket package. So, again, if anybody wants to see the Lightning win, just give me some tickets, and I'll make it happen. Simply, it's a me thing. So,
there you go.
Jokes aside, I mean, I was fortunate enough to only catch the first period of this game. I caught bits and pieces of the radio broadcast, but I was working during this game. And, yeah, just nothing was going right. You know, Michigan was getting really angry. He's always pretty animated. Phil Esposito was getting real angry and real confused at that center ice goal. Everything I saw in the first period, you know, it was unlucky, but it was also, man, you're getting kind of dominated by the post-trade deadline Boston Bruins of 2025. Things did not look good throughout the game. Again, I only got to watch the first period, so I only know a fraction of the story. Is there anything that I'm missing out on, or is this just, you played like crap, moveon.com?
It's exactly what it is. Literally, Matt, the first period, things got worse as the game went on. It didn't get better. You kept hoping it would get better, and the game was closed for a while. They had some chances, but just not great offensively. They were making extra passes. The passes they were making were off the mark. You know, a lot went wrong. And the big question will be now, as we get ready to look ahead next week, how do you bounce back? How do you respond? If you come back out and play a great game tonight, no worries. If these trends continue, then there's more of a red flag. So that's why I started off with the saying, you know, bury the tapes and move on, because this just wasn't a good game, period. But luckily, overall for the Lightning, it's still been a successful week. They've been winning games. They're still right there in the thick of the division, sitting in third place right now. So not all is lost for the Bolts right now. I do hate that they're, 8-2 in their last 10 games. The two games that they lost are to the Boston Bruins and the Florida Panthers. Guys, can we please not lose to our division rivals? I would appreciate it a little bit.
At least the Bruins are so far out of a playoff spot that one only hurts us, really, and it doesn't help out anybody else. So I can console with that.
It hurts the soul a little bit more when it's those.
Very
those,
much.
You know what I mean. All right, let's go to our three stars of the week. Here to talk about, there's a lot of good and a lot of bad, you know, mixed emotions throughout the week, but there's guys stood out offensively, I think, no question. And that brings me to our third star of the week, and that is Darren Radish, who had a solid week. You know, one goal, three assists for a total of 4 points. I think I'm actually missing a game now that I look at these stats, so I apologize. Yes, Radish, one goal, four assists for 5 points, and was a +2. So not bad stuff from Darren Radish, who was pretty solid.
No. I'm not going to be so cynical. Not a rare good week from Darren Radish, but nothing I can really nothing I can really discredit Darren for. He did have a really good, strong game, defensively and offensively. I thought he looked really good. And then stepping up on the power play with Victor Hedman going down in that Columbus game, and then the Buffalo game, or was it just the Buffalo game? I can't remember. Just the Buffalo game. He looked really good, putting up points and a bit of an odd goal in that Columbus game. A good week from Darren Radish. I can't, you know, go in too hard on him, because he did end up deflecting that one goal that got scored from center ice in that Boston game. It did go off his stick. So, you know, dash one there, but for the rest of the week, good job, Darren.
For our second star of the week, there might be a little bit of controversy on this one because some people think he was benched. Cooper said no, though, but it is Nikita Kucherov who gets our second star of the week because despite his defensive issues, he did have a successful week, especially offensively. One goal, four assists for a total of 5 points, and was a plus one as well. So even though he had a couple of defensive issues, he still gets the job done and earns our second star of the week.
Yeah, again, you know, talking about a sloppy game or sloppy half a game, don't let it taint the entire week for you. Kucherov doing Kuch things, one goal, four assists. Is that what it was?
Yes.
One goal, four assists over four games. So over a point per game. He's still chasing down McKinnon, still chasing down Dreisaitl. But just a very, very Kucherov week, you know, sloppy game, couple turnovers, but just quietly putting up points, doing what Kuch does. Good for our second star. I thought you could have argued for Yanni Gord in this section, but we'll let it slide. He'll be here eventually.
He's going to have some more time, more games under his belt. He should probably mix it there soon. But yeah, no, Kucherov, listen, if you're going to make the defensive mistakes, at least make up for it offensively. And that's what he does. So, you know, you can forgive him a little bit on those mistakes. Yeah. Number one star of the week. This one was pretty easy, Matt. Five goals, two assists for 7 points and a plus two. Jake Guentzel. It's the first star of the week. Matt, you made the joke in our chat earlier that the three stars should have been Jake Guentzel, Jake and Bake, and what number is it? 59? It's all three stars, Jake Guentzel. He has been fantastic. What a signing by JBB to bring him over. He's fit in very, very nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he had the strongest week of anybody. You know, it was an easy answer for me to come up with my first star. And just everywhere he plays, the way he plays, he's not super flashy with the way he plays. You know, he makes simple plays and puts himself in simple positions. He's very smart defensively. Like, he's, you know, he's not the, you know, resurgence of Patrice Bergeron or Sasha Barkov or anything like that, but he's never the guy that's, you know, making the mistake or caught out of position often, it seems. And then just to you know, score a hat trick with me in the audience, I mean, that's good enough for a permanent star right there. And no, he just plays such an effortless but simple version of hockey. He's exactly what this team needed, and he just played terrific this week. And I want to say he's leading the team in goals now too. I'm pretty sure he passed Braden Point, who has kind of been a little quiet the last couple of weeks.
Well, maybe it's time for him to break out in a big way and help us out, and maybe soon he will. I think you might be right. I'll try to pull it up really, really quickly. But either way, great week for Jake Guentzel.
Despite Jake Guentzel having such a good week of hockey, Steven Stamkos had like three straight multi-point games too. I'm still pocket watching Stamkos. He's been playing pretty well after his month of February, which was terrible.
I just wanted to know, I had my hand over the remove button. I thought you were about to bash him again.
No.
I don't know,
if it was me and Joe, maybe I'd say, oh, look at this fraud. You know, he's just getting, you know, empty calorie points or something. No, Stamkos has been playing pretty good. So I just had to bring up the comparison.
By the way, Jake Guentzel is now leading the Lightning in goals. He has overtaken Braden Point. Good for Jake Guentzel. All right, let's look ahead here for the Lightning. They're sitting in third place in the division right now, still in striking distance of Toronto and Florida, a little bit more difficult than it was before. But they have their next, what is it, five or six of their next seven games are on the road here. So a three-game road trip, a game home, and another three-game road trip coming up. But for this week, you have the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. That game on Hulu and ESPN Plus, by the way.
Disney Plus. I like that they're doing that now.
I don't want to give them credit for these games. That drives me nuts. They're so limited and you can't watch hockey. But don't forget to follow us at RBR Sports, at RBR Lightning, so you don't miss out on that coverage or Bolt Report as well, or any of the great people out there covering games. But tonight against Carolina, and then they will head to Philadelphia on the 13th, that game at 7 p.m. Eastern, back on FanDuel Sports Network, and then Boston on the 15th. So maybe a revenge game opportunity for the Lightning here in TD Garden. And then they'll be back home on Monday against the Flyers at 7 p.m. Eastern. So the three big ones here, Matt, we should have an episode back out before the Flyers game, hopefully. but it's Carolina, Philly, and Boston. And Carolina and Boston are the two big ones I look at. One, Carolina, they're one of the top teams in the conference right now, and the Boston one just as a revenge game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if there's, you know, any consolation, if we lose some of these games, there's not going to be much shifting in the standings. All these teams are in different divisions, or Boston is, you know, kind of already out of the hunt. Maybe not too far out, but I want my revenge game. This Carolina game is probably the most important. It's going to be your best team you're going to be playing against this week. And then, so there's two games against the Flyers this week, or I guess we're going to record Monday.
They play the Flyers again on the 17th on Monday. So okay. Again, another reason to follow us and subscribe, hit that like button, hit that share button, all that great stuff, because it helps us out. And you will know when we do go live to talk about whether it's before that Philly game or after.
Yeah, well, zero reason to lose any of those games other than maybe the Hurricanes game. You want your revenge game. You want to beat, you know, pretty terrible Flyers teams. This Hurricanes game coming up here in a couple hours is going to be a really fun watch. Both three really good teams making their final runs in the playoff push. So, oh, man, we got an interesting week of hockey ahead of us. Hopefully we can find a little bit more consistency than we did last week.
Bounce back. That's the biggest thing you can do right now after that tough
Boston redemption.
Loss. Redemption.
That's the theme of today's show.
Yes, it is. We'll be here to break it all down for you guys. That'll do it for us in this week's episode, though. Hope you did enjoy. Don't forget to like and subscribe and follow us on social media so you don't miss out. And that's going to do it for us in this one. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll talk to you next time. Go Bolts!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.